Great to be with you this morning and to spend time in God's Word together. Well, in his hit ballad, Home, Michael Bublé, one of our homegrown stars, he's a successful musical performer, all the attention and privileges of fame, he sings these words. Another summer day has come and gone away in Paris and Rome. Wouldn't you like to be in Paris or Rome? And he says, I want to go home. Maybe surrounded by a million people, I still feel all alone. Just want to go home. Another airplane, another sunny place. I'm lucky, I know, but I want to go home. I got to go home. Have you ever longed for home? Throughout the years, I've had a few chances to travel to some cool places, spent some nights in nice hotel beds, enjoyed some great restaurant meals, and spent time with intriguing people. But whenever I travel, there comes a point where I think, I just want to be home. I want my own bed, I want my own coffee, I want my own recipes, the people who know me well. I've often felt this about my church family as well. You know, you travel, you go to these trend-setting churches that have awesome preaching and amazing worship teams, and I still think, man, I love just being with our people, hearing our worship teams sing our songs, and my pastors teaching me, and the people that have been journeying with me for a long time. You ever long for home? Now, for many of us, home isn't what it should be. Maybe relationships are tense or broken. Maybe the fridge is emptier than you want it to be. Or you've lost count how often you've moved. Maybe you long for a home that you have missed out on. And in matters of faith, perhaps you have never felt at home in a church. Maybe church people just didn't feel like your people. Or you were in a church where suddenly things got hard. And it didn't feel like home anymore. Maybe you've come today and you're longing for a spiritual home that you've never experienced. But we all know that we should have a home, a place where we belong, a place where our needs will be taken care of physically and emotionally and spiritually. Without that home, it can be so difficult to thrive. So where have you been seeking belonging? Where are you looking for sustenance? Is there a home for you? Well, as John mentioned, you've joined us in a series on Jesus. And a month from now, Christians will be celebrating Good Friday and Easter, this remembrance of the death of Christ on the cross and his resurrection. And as we anticipate this in what is often called the season of Lent, we're taking this time to really behold Jesus, to consider him, to contemplate him, to gaze on him. And if you've joined us this morning because you heard about that and you're curious about Jesus, you don't know a lot about him, a special welcome to you. As you get to know Jesus, maybe for the first time, I hope it will open up your understanding of the impact that Jesus has had, not just on history, but on many of us and on perhaps on you. So in this series, we're exploring seven statements that Jesus made about himself recorded in the Gospel of John. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door or the gate for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the vine. And I am the resurrection and the life. And as we get to know Jesus this way, we'll see some of the ways that we try to meet our needs, the way we seek guidance, the way we find our identity, and how they compare to what Jesus offers us in himself. And so this week, we're looking at Jesus as he calls himself the true vine. I know we've prayed already, but let's just pray once more as we enter into this. Lord Jesus, this is a stretching metaphor for us to understand. We so easily want to be independent. We so easily go to other things to meet our needs. But today, Lord Jesus, we come perhaps withered, weary, drained, needing a strength that is beyond us. So we do pray that you would open our eyes, that you would soften our hearts so that we would be able to see Jesus, our true vine. Holy Spirit, come and teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with me to John chapter 15. We're going to begin in verse 1. These are the words of Jesus himself. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you do not remain, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this passage in John chapter 15 is happening sometime on the evening before Jesus is betrayed and condemned and handed over to the Romans to be crucified. And as he prepares his disciples for what is about to happen, he offers them some words of comfort. And he says to them, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, in Jesus' day, most farmers would probably have a few grapevines on their farm, but then there would also be great big vineyards kind of spread out over the hills of Judea, kind of like we see in Okanagan wine country. So this is an image that many people would have been familiar with, the vine. But Jesus says, I'm the true vine. It's like he's saying there's many vines out there that you could compare me with, but I'm the true one, the quintessential vine, the genuine one that all other vines are measured by. So what's he talking about here? Well, Jesus was a Jew. He was formed by the story of Israel and their relationship with God. And in the ancient Jewish writings of the Old Testament, Israel is described a few times as a vine, with God as their vine dresser, their gardener. And God had transplanted this vine out of this hostile environment of Egypt and slavery and placed in this beautiful, healthy, hospitable vineyard of Canaan, where God had given them everything they needed to thrive. And God had a very special purpose for his vine, for Israel. Through their relationship with God, they would bear fruit by being this just and peaceful society in which it was good for everyone. And as the nation saw God's good and faithful care for Israel and this beautiful relationship happening, they'd want to get in on it themselves. It was a mission God had for them. But unfortunately, Israel turned out to be what their prophets called a wild vine, an alien vine. An example might be this honey vine milkweed here. It looks really vibrant. It's got all these leaves. It looks like a grapevine. It uses the same nutrients as a grapevine. but does not give grapes. Israel refused to remain with the God who had saved them from slavery, the God who provided their needs. And instead, they traveled abroad. They looked for their identity and they looked for resources from foreign gods and the empires that worshiped them. And because they adopted the priorities of the nations around them, they became an unjust, an unsafe society. Israel was a wild vine, a poisonous weed, instead of a source of sustenance and life for the world. And because of that, God allowed the very nations that they sought to emulate to come and conquer them. Now, the prophets never lost hope, and you can read in Psalm 80 this poetry about a time when a ruler would arise out of the vine that Israel was. This king would emerge from the wreckage and be the true vine and lead the people home. Now, how many of us are wild vines, traveling away from home, seeking our identity and our sustenance from other sources? For me, I really value being a knowledgeable person. It's inspired me to pursue degrees. It's inspired me to buy all kinds of books that I totally intend on reading. Now, as much as I enjoy learning, in some ways this obsession is fueled by a fear that I'll be caught not knowing, that I won't be ready, that I'll be ignorant, that I'll be unprepared. And I don't feel at home until I know enough, until I'm confident I won't be caught ignorant. Now, that might make me useful to have around sometimes, but it's not the place to find my identity or to fuel my hunger, my deepest hunger, right? I'm never going to know enough. There's always more that I can't be ready for. And even if I did know all kinds of things, it wouldn't replace or wouldn't meet that need that I have to be truly loved. If I make my home in knowledge for knowledge's sake, I'll be a wild vine. Most likely the fruit will be arrogance and a critical spirit and all kinds of ugly things, but not love. The Netflix documentary Don't Die tells the story of Brian Johnson, a very wealthy entrepreneur who's trying to find the medical secrets to living forever. His wealth allows him to dedicate his days completely to prolonging his own biological life. So he has these exercise regimens and 50-some pills of supplements that he takes and drugs, and he's with doctors testing this and that and everything and meditating and all this kind of thing. He's devoted his entire life to finding the way to immortality. And I wonder, is this the life he was intended to have? And what is this making him to be? So what can provide us with the home that we seek? What will bear the fruit in us that we're meant to bear? Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Unlike Israel, Jesus trusted his Father, the gardener, for everything. He resisted the temptation to make his home anywhere other than with God. And the fruit of that relationship in Jesus' life was goodness, kindness, love, compassion, humility, truthfulness, a heart for the poor, an intolerance for arrogance. Jesus was a truly fruitful vine. So what does this vine offer us, this true vine? First of all, Jesus offers us a true identity. He says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches," verse 5. The slogans of our world include, like, you can be anything you want to be, right? Live your truth, define yourself. The heroes we admire are the ones who overcame all the odds by the strength of their own will. The ones who rejected what everyone else said about them and defined themselves. Seems like our world assumes that every one of us is responsible to be a vine unto ourselves. But that's impossible. We're all branches of something, some kind of vine, consciously or unconsciously. A parent's example, whether it's good or bad, a mentor's guidance, the laws that govern us, the education we receive, the media we consume, the peers we spend time with, the employer who pays our bills, the spirit of whatever age we live in. We are branches of something. And these vines all try to tell us who we are and whose we are. But so many of those things fall apart. They change. They're not deeply committed to us. They show themselves as unreliable. What's the vine that you have been a branch of? Jesus tells his disciples, you can't be the vine. You're meant to be shoots off of one vine, Jesus. And how does this offer us the true identity that we seek? Well, it means that in many beautiful ways, what is true of the vine is also true of the branches. What is true of the teacher is true of the disciples. Jesus is the beloved Son of the Father, and his disciples are the beloved children of God. Jesus is the trustworthy servant of God, and his apprentices serve God along with him. Jesus is the light of the world, and his followers become the light of the world with him. And Jesus is the fruitful vine, and anyone who follows him will be able to bear fruit with him in the world. The New Testament calls this being in Christ. When you have a relationship with Jesus, what is true of him becomes true of you. And that is a secure place to root your identity. It's a safe place to make your home. So Jesus, the true vine, offers us the identity that lasts forever. Now, second, Jesus offers us sustenance as the true vine. He offers us a life that doesn't run out. Verse 5, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is how branches work, right? They receive this life-giving sap from the root vine that goes out into the branch that sparks all the, or not sparks, but sort of gets all these little shoots out, and those shoots produce grape clusters year after year. There's a vine in the heart of the old city of Maribor, Slovenia, that's verified as the oldest noble vine in the world, still bearing fruit, grapes. Anyone have a guess on how long this vine has been making grapes? 5,000, that's pretty high. Yeah. It's 400 years. Someone said 2,000 in the first service too. It's like, what kind of vines do you guys look at all the time? It's 400 years. And it's pretty impressive, you know. Here's a vine that has been sustained through floods and plant diseases and world wars and invasions. And there on the side of that house, it's producing fruit. And yet, as impressive as that is, it probably won't last forever. It's still fragile, and Jesus offers far more than that. In perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, Jesus says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Jesus offers this to people many times throughout the Gospels, that if you follow him, if you believe in him, if you trust him, he gives you eternal life. So what's he talking about? Often our mind goes to like life after death, going to heaven when you die. But that's not all that this entails. He's talking about getting grafted in like a branch to a vine, to an unending source of life that starts the moment you're grafted in. When a person trusts in Jesus, they receive this supernatural power of God in the person of the Holy Spirit that's helping us to do what we could not do before. It's that experience of God's inexhaustible life in our daily life that gives us hope that life will go on beyond our death. I remember when I first surrendered my life to Christ in my teens. And things started to happen in me that couldn't just be explained by my own will. Quite suddenly, I had this desire to love God and to do what pleased Him. I actually wanted to read the Bible, not because my Sunday school teacher said it was a good idea, but because I was hungry to get to know Jesus. My conscience became more sensitive to the ways that I wasn't walking in step with God. And today I experience this when there's a prompting to pray for someone, or a peace that I can't explain in the midst of difficult circumstances, or that conviction that I haven't treated that person the way I should have and I need to make things right. These are things I couldn't produce in myself. There's an eternal kind of life, God's own Spirit, that's doing work inside of me that's far beyond just my own intelligence or my own will. So Jesus, the true vine, offers us an eternal sustenance. And third, the true vine offers us the possibility of being fruitful. Again, he says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. A grapevine is made to be fruitful. A vine with all kinds of leaves and no grapes is just a weed. It's taking up space in the garden. It's drawing nutrients away from the other things that really need it. And you are made to be fruitful, to be a blessing. And this is what can happen when you have a relationship with Jesus, the true vine. So what is the fruit? The Apostle Paul describes this in his letter to the Galatians, that the fruit of God's eternal life in us, the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. In Ephesians, he says that the fruit of life of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. In other words, the fruit that we were created to bear looks like this safe and mature character that is a blessing to others. But it's not just personal development. It's not just becoming a nicer person. These are the things that cause mission to happen, right? When our lives are changed, when we're actually good people to have around, people start saying, how is this happening in your life? How can I get in on it? And the mission happens. Jesus, the true vine, offers us the opportunity to be fruitful. Now, the trouble is that I so often drift into independence. Something in me prefers to just do things on my own. Maybe I don't want to admit that I need help. It's humbling. Maybe I know that if I invite him in, there's going to be some changes he wants to make, and I'm not sure about that. Sometimes I'm afraid that God isn't actually interested in giving me what I need. And that temptation to seek independence, to be our own vine, is an ancient one. It's persistent. We're all affected by it. But we were created to be branches. And if we don't connect to Jesus, we'll look for the other vines out there, the influencers, the self-help authors, the advertisers. We'll look to personal fitness. We'll look to having a perfect family. We'll try political aspirations or just looking for prosperity. Maybe I'll just look to my own feelings, however incoherent they might be, to define me. And that might appear to provide sustenance for a while, but they don't offer eternal life. And I'd argue that the tendency for us to look to these other vines is at the root of all the anxiety, so much of the anxiety that plagues our age. Jesus tells us here that we can't afford to be disconnected from the vine. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. You know, if you walk through any forest, that a dead branch is much easier to break off of the tree. A sudden windstorm just can suddenly pull it off. And once it stops serving its purpose as a branch, it's just firewood. That's certainly what Israel discovered in their history. And it's the danger for all of us. My efforts to work on my health can't be the vine I seek my life from. I'm going to get old anyway, you know. And my aim to be successful and useful in my job has limits to giving me life as well. It's just a job. There's someone else who will take my place when I move on. If I plant my roots in these transient things, I might flourish for a little while, but eventually I'll wither because they don't offer eternal life. I need the true vine to give me life. So how do we receive this identity, this sustenance, this fruitfulness? One word, we remain. Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. To remain is a one-word summary of discipleship, of being with Jesus so we can become like Jesus. He's saying, make me your true home. You might fly to Paris or Rome. You might be surrounded by all kinds of people. You might get to take an airplane to a sunny place, but make your home in Jesus. I tried to draw this image when I was studying John 15 years ago. I tried to draw it in my Bible of him in me and I in him and all those kinds of things. And it just turned out to be a whole bunch of curly Q kind of lines. Maybe a bit like the internal parts of a branch that are so intertwined together that if you pull them apart, violence will happen to both of them. So what does that look like to stay at home in Jesus, to be his disciple wherever you are? Jesus tells us three ways we do that. First, remaining with Jesus, being his disciple, means prioritizing his influence in your life. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Just think about that for a moment. As the Father loves Jesus, Jesus loves us. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Back in verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Do you hear how much Jesus wants to be with us? These other alleged sources of life are always reaching out to us. The distraction of social media, the obsessive ambitions, the relationships. But like a healthy vine that's transferring all that it has to its branches, Jesus wants to give us everything we need to grow and thrive. And so he invites us to make time in our day, in our rhythms, to be aware of his presence, his love for us, to read the scriptures and to actually make plans to obey it in our lives, and to pray, to talk to him about the things that we're encountering and doing together throughout our day. This is where life comes from. Are you remaining with Jesus, prioritizing his influence in your life? What could it look like for you to take another step in remaining with him? And just to make a quick plug, I'm starting a course called Pray Like Jesus on April the 2nd, Wednesdays. For 6 weeks, we're going to dive into the teachings of Jesus of what prayer looks like. Love, that would be one great way to equip yourself to prioritize his influence in your life. You can find out about that on the website. Second, remaining at home with Jesus and being his disciple means submitting to God's pruning. Jesus says, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Like a good gardener, our Heavenly Father can see the pursuits and the ambitions and the mindsets and the relationships in our lives that seem good, that seem like they're going to give us what we need, but they're actually distracting us from the things that really matter. And often he allows times of suffering and disappointment and conflict and grief and discipline to show us that's not really what you need, to help us to let go of them. So maybe losing a job caused you to shift your priorities, or a tragedy brought your family closer together. or some big mistake finally turned you back to God. A few years ago, some very challenging things were going on in my own family that kind of made me realize some of my own character flaws as a parent. And it would have been easy to just kind of blame everyone else and not take responsibility. But God was trying to get my attention and show me things that needed to change in my own heart so that I could love my family, my children better. These experiences are really hard. And often when you think, "What is God? God's pulled out here. He's not caring for me anymore," the temptation is to withdraw because we think he doesn't care about us anymore. N.T. Wright says, "The vine dresser is never closer to the vine, taking more thought over its long-term health and productivity than when he has the knife in his hand." So maybe it's actually time to lean in, to depend more on God, not less, because it's at that moment he's caring for you more deeply than ever before. So is there something happening in your life that might be the gardener pruning you so you can be more fruitful? But finally, remaining at home with Jesus and being his disciple can't happen outside of loving community. Verse 12, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Remaining with Jesus means exercising our love muscles in community with other people. Love is the soil and the fruit of abiding, of remaining with Jesus. In this soil of loving community, we learn that we are loved and that we have love to give. We learn that all of us have gifts to give to each other so we can be a blessing. And as we practice that together, we become more fruitful in being a blessing to the world. And the more we persevere at that practice, the more it becomes part of who we are. It becomes natural for us instead of unnatural. So this is why we do encourage everyone to be part of a life group or an apprentice group or some other small group community where you can be known and loved and you can contribute something. As Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Where love is the soil and the fruit of remaining with Jesus, the people around us start to say, "Something beautiful is happening there. How can I be part of it?" And God receives the glory. So where's the community in which you are planted so you can practice bearing that fruit of love that Jesus so desires to flourish in us? Now, I want to just emphasize that this is not just a list of things that we should do. When Jesus says, "If you do these things, then my life will pour into you," he's not saying that we should do these things to earn it. He's saying, "I've got this stuff pouring out towards you all the time. Show up for it." And even when we fail in that, where we have failed to be dependent, where we've failed to be fruitful, Jesus is the true and fruitful vine. And where our lives have withered up because we've sought after other sources of life, Jesus doesn't discard us. Jesus, through his death on the cross, went to the fire in our place. He took our punishment so that we could be saved from the fire. And then God raised Jesus from the dead. And Romans 8:11 tells us, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." So Jesus, the true vine, invites you to receive all that's his through a relationship with him. And all he asks of you is to remain with him, to make that relationship with Jesus your home base, and then he will produce that fruit in you and through you. So perhaps this morning you've come and you just reflect on your life and you think, "Yeah, I have been withering. I've been finding my life in other vines, and I've never connected to Jesus before." And perhaps this morning is a time for you to say, Jesus, I can't do this alone anymore. I need you to be my Savior, my Lord, my vine. Maybe you've been a follower of Jesus, but you have lived more like your own vine than like a branch on the vine. You haven't been remaining. And this morning, maybe it's time to just invite the Holy Spirit to invigorate again your dependence, your relationship with Jesus. And maybe you have been remaining. You've been experiencing the amazing experience of Jesus' presence in your life, and you're starting to see fruit you can't explain except by His presence. And maybe this morning you just need to rejoice and give thanks. However you're coming this morning, I want to invite you to join me in prayer, and let's just offer ourselves to Jesus again. Jesus, thank you for giving us this life that never ends, this inexhaustible life that comes from you. And Lord, I pray for every heart here, wherever they're at, wherever they've wandered, wherever they've traveled far away, would you bring them home today to make their home in you, the true vine? Lord, help us all to turn away from that independence and to turn to you and receive all that you have for us. Fill us with your life, Lord. Teach us to remain in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.